was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Purport. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings, because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons, who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit, and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to reestablish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as is received by the Parampara, the disciplic succession system, an attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity. But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Translation again. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Sakalinaha mahata yoga nashta prantapa. The science appears to be lost. What does that mean? Certainly, in Arjuna's time, there were so many wise persons. Vyasadeva was present, Vashishta was present. So many persons far more intelligent than what you have now. Why does Krishna say then that the science as is appears to be lost? Obviously, the presence of intelligence is not the factor, because there were scholars, pundits, far more intelligent than what we have today. So why is the science lost? Because the purport was lost, the meaning. In other words, what Krishna is telling you is that understanding Bhagavad Gita is not dependent on whether or not material intelligence is present. Understanding Bhagavad Gita depends on the original purpose of the Gita being intact. Krishna has chosen Arjuna to re-clarify the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. In other words, by Krishna speaking to Arjuna, the meaning of Bhagavad Gita will become clear again. In other words, we should understand that Bhagavad Gita does not require interpretation. It simply requires the clarity of the original purport as coming down in the chain of spiritual masters. Evam parampara praptam. Imam Raja Sriyavita. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. So how it's received influences whether you can understand it or not. This is a very deep point. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is not just some kind of book you can open and, oh, well, I think it means this, and I think it means that. No. It's to understand Bhagavad Gita, you receive it through disciplic succession, and that reception process brings with it understanding. But on your own, to try to understand it like a mundane scholar, well, my theory is this, what's your theory on what Krishna is saying here? You cannot understand. And Krishna is letting you know that by saying that the purport was lost, even though at the time there were so many highly intelligent persons present on the earth, far more than what you have now. Still, Krishna is saying the meaning, the science as it is, appears to be lost. The purport has been lost. Regardless of how materially intelligent everyone is, the purport is lost. Now, Krishna is saying that it is clearly stated, the Gita, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, it is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Bhagavad Gita is meant for the government. That's what this verse is letting you know. Imam Rajasyo Vidhu. The science, Imam, is meant for the Rajrishis, the saintly kings, the philosopher kings who should be at the head of government. Now, that also means that Bhagavad Gita is not a book meant for the speculators. It's not a book meant for the logicians or mundane scholars and theologians. The Bhagavad Gita is actually a text inserted into this cosmos for guiding governments, because the real purpose of the government is to guide the people in becoming pure. We talked about that in the previous text, how the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. And we talked before about, you'd never expect that the duty of the government is to protect the citizens from bondage to lust. In fact, what you get is a government that simply increases its citizens' bondage to lust. The people foolishly want that. And if they don't get that, then they think the government is horrible. Where's our bondage to lust? You're the government. You're supposed to give us all facilities for that. Now, what do we hear today? Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidhu. The saintly kings would understand Bhagavad Gita as it was handed down through the spiritual masters. And in that way, the saintly kings could rule their citizens. Not with simply the concoction of a different law every day, but they would base their government on the timeless principles that Krishna has given here. These are very important points for us to understand. But what happens to that original purpose of Bhagavad Gita? Sakalinaha mahata. Time kills it. Kala. Time does things. It deteriorates even the clear purport of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Krishna himself detected that there was a problem. By Krishna's repeating Bhagavad Gita, he's letting you know that it's not that he lets the world just go on as it is without a care. No, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally detected that the purport of Bhagavad Gita had been lost. And therefore, the Supreme Lord himself is going to speak it to Arjuna, restore or reinvigorate the disciplic succession so that everyone can easily understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. Thus it's said here, the science as it is appears to be lost. Bhagavad Gita is eternal. But just like the sun, relatively speaking, is always there, but sometimes it appears and disappears. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita knowledge is always there, but sometimes it seems to be lost. Just like you can't see the sun, and that way the sun seems to be lost. You notice Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity. But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. But that's how Bhagavad Gita is treated today. It's treated as a philosophy book from India, and everybody can approach it and try to understand what they want out of it. But Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted as Arjuna accepted it. Then you can understand Bhagavad Gita. If you look to it as Arjuna looked to it, the meaning of Bhagavad Gita will become known to you. How did Arjuna accept Krishna? And what Krishna said? In the 10th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna says, Sarvam etat vritam manye. Oh Krishna, I totally accept everything you've said. And then he goes on to say, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Krishna, you are the supreme Brahman, the supreme abode, the supreme purifier. You're the supreme absolute truth. If you accept Bhagavad Gita in that way, as Arjuna accepted it, you'll get the result. The whole training of the Krishna conscious process is to teach you how to accept Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna accepted it. Then you get a crystal clear understanding of what Krishna is saying. Once again, let us go over one point. Your method for understanding Bhagavad Gita influences whether you can understand it or not. But we kind of think, well, it's a book. I just pick it up and, you know, kind of attack it in my own way. You'd be surprised how many people these days don't read a book from page one. Have you ever noticed that? I've talked to so many people who even have purchased Bhagavad Gita from us, and I ask, well, are you reading it? Well, I just kind of jump from one page to another, you know, see what interests me, you know. Some say, I just read the black print. Others say, well, I just read the lighter print. I start from the back. I start from the middle. The New Agers say there's such a thing as the library angel, in which you kind of, you get a book and you just close your eyes and you open it, and the library angel makes sure that you open it to a page that means something especially for you that day. It's very difficult to find someone who will read Bhagavad Gita from page one onwards. Very difficult. Everyone thinks, well, I'll just jump around and, you know, oh, that looks interesting, that looks interesting. Of course, they're benefiting because they're contacting a genuine Bhagavad Gita. That means they're contacting Krishna. But still, to actually understand Bhagavad Gita, the method of your receiving it is very important. So Krishna is saying that here. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And the saintly kings understood it in that way. Things are passed down very carefully. And especially the heads of government, the saintly kings, they accepted Bhagavad Gita very carefully. They had the job of guiding the citizens. But guiding the citizens for what? For economic development, for warfare. No, their prime responsibility was to guide the citizens how to become purified so the citizens could go back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, certainly Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. That's what's happened today. The value of Bhagavad Gita has been dissipated in its value for no one's benefit. How do you know you can benefit from Bhagavad Gita? How do you know who's benefiting from Bhagavad Gita? You know when they take up bhakti yoga. That is the benefit that's supposed to accrue to you. You're supposed to derive that benefit. You're supposed to take up the process for how to always think of Krishna, how to become Krishna's devotee, how to bow down before Krishna, how to worship Krishna. That's the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. Now, we should also understand that this chain of disciplic succession, as we spoke last time, involves more than just earth. Bhagavad Gita is not an earthly book. If you want to use the term, it is extraterrestrial. We discussed this, how Krishna is saying, I spoke it to the chief person on the sun, and then it got down to earth eventually. Why? How did it get down to earth eventually? In the higher planetary systems, there are methods of communication in which residents of different planets can talk. In this way, the message of Bhagavad Gita was communicated to those on Earth. Of course, the whole message originates from outside the material cosmos. But Krishna is coming within the material cosmos to reinvigorate the clarity of Bhagavad Gita. All this is going on in one book. Therefore, if you want a glimpse of outside the material world, as well as a glimpse of what's going on inside the material world, Bhagavad Gita is your guidebook for that. Just like you have the yellow pages for finding some business in Perth, well, the Bhagavad Gita is your guidebook for finding out what's going on within this material world and outside the material world. We should be aware of time. Even such a great thing as the purport of Bhagavad Gita can be lost in time. We have to be mindful of the effect of time on our own spiritual endeavors. We may have been enthusiastic in the beginning, and then time can wear us down. To actually execute bhakti yoga means to keep yourself fresh and enlivened in Krishna consciousness. That's why it's always nice that new devotees with fresh enthusiasm should associate with older devotees who may have more experience, but sometimes older devotees, they lose their enthusiasm due to familiarity. Yeah, I've been doing this for some time. Whereas when new devotees come, this is great. They're feeling relief from the struggle of material existence. They're feeling for the first time the freshness of Krishna. But time may wear that down if they don't execute the process properly enough to keep their enthusiasm. Older devotees, they should have some experience in how to deal with the time factor. But sometimes older devotees become a bit hackneyed. So we want to combine the freshness of the new devotees with the experience of the older devotees. Then you always have, a very bubbly atmosphere in the temple. Older devotees should always be looking for enthusiastic new devotees to associate with, keep you feeling ever fresh. And of course, the newer devotees should want to learn from the experience of the older devotees. Now, I'm not saying that all older devotees don't have enthusiasm. No. But sometimes it happens that due to time, the older devotees become a bit habituated, and mechanical. Of course, those older devotees who are very dedicated, you'll notice that they're ever fresh. But our point is that we're discussing the effect of the time factor, how time can even apparently wear down the clarity of Bhagavad Gita. what to speak of the clarity of our own spiritual endeavors. So any questions? Devotional service is actually a love affair. So you have to constantly be doing things to keep the love bubbling. For example, if you're having a relationship with someone, even a mundane relationship, you know, you always try to do things to keep, you know, keep the relationship going. Gifts and going, you know, special niceties and, you know, things like that. Candlelight dinner or something. Oh, for some reason, all the ladies like candlelight dinners, right? Is there some, you know, well, you know, I can't figure out what the big attraction is, but isn't that so? Really makes no sense to a man, but yeah. From what I've heard, ladies always want to have, you know, on special occasions, candlelight dinners. You heard that also? You're like, you know. So, just like you do these special little things to keep the mundane relationship so-called fresh, similarly, you always try to do things to keep your relationship with Krishna fresh. Anything else? Yes?
How do we learn to love him?
Hmm?
How do we learn to love him?
Enthusiasm means eagerness. Very easy to spot. Enthusiasm is not a mystical thing. Haven't you ever seen kids enthusiastically playing? Like Monibanda's daughter, you know, she's playing, she's very enthusiastic, running here and there, or very active. So that's enthusiasm. We want to be like that for Krishna's service. Whatever energy we've got, we want to use very eagerly for Krishna's pleasure. So please consider how great this presentation of Bhagavad Gita is, what it's actually meant for. And please remember, it's not like a book, you know, that's just, you know, well, it's an interesting metaphysical book, interesting theological book. It's got some interesting thoughts in there. No, this book is actually meant to guide governments. Now that goes a long way to tell you about the state of governmental affairs today, because you could never imagine your government, for example, saying, oh, by the way, we are guided by the principles of Bhagavad Gita. So that's more a comment on the current state of affairs, not a comment on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not a book for mundane wranglers and speculators. It's a book that's meant to guide governments, because the purpose of the government is to arrange for the gradual purification of the citizen. So you see, this Bhagavad Gita can cause huge changes in society. By understanding the scope of Bhagavad Gita, you can see how far from the mark the present human civilization is. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is the norm. And what we have today is completely abnormal. But most people will think, well, this is a very exotic book. Far different from the normal situation we have today. Bhagavad Gita is not exotic. It is the actual essential knowledge for living in this world and transporting yourself to the spiritual world. Okay? You have any questions back there? You understand everything? All right. Hare Krishna.